Okay, we're going to start somewhat in the middle of Mem Tetem a bit. We had, in yesterday's daf, there was a discussion. It started with the Shimon ben Azai found this Megillat Yuchsin in Yerushalayim, and it talked about that Ish Ploni was a mamzer from Ish at Ish, and this is all showing that we hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that it's mita beitin is what makes yiladim mamzerin. Okay, if you do something that's onesh mita beitin, then your kids are mamzerin. Then it said there were three things that they found there. One was this. Another had to do with this other issue, which we're not going to get into now because let's just move on. And the third thing, which connects with what goes into our daf, is that Menashe harag et Yishayahu. Okay, the third thing it said in that Megillah was that the king Menashe, who was like one of the really bad kings, he killed Yeshayahu. Okay, so strange thing going on here. Why did he kill Yeshayahu? So the Gemara explains that he said to Yeshayahu, there's three psukim that you said, three times you said things that contradicted what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and because of that, I have to kill you. And then it says that Yeshayahu was careful and he didn't try to explain himself away, because if he did, then he knew Menashe was going to kill him anyway. Because really, Menashe wanted to kill him because he was predicting the Churban, and Menashe didn't like that. So, right, this is toward the end of Bayit Rishon. So he, in order not to make him a Rotzeach B'Shchagah, he doesn't tell him, he doesn't say anything, he doesn't respond. In order to keep him a Rotzeach B'Shchagah, he says it. Okay, now, what are these? So then the Gemara proceeds to say, well, how do we explain these three psukim, these three contradictions? So we'll go through starting from there. Okay, so the three psukim are this. Number one is, Kilo yirani ha'adam v'chai. He says to Moshe, nobody will ever see me and live. And then Yishayahu says, Va'er'et Hashem Yoshev al-Kiseiram v'nisa. So how could he have said that? So the Gemara explains here, Kedetanya, okay, we're now eight lines from the bottom. Kol hanevi'im nistaklu ba'aspaklaria she'ena me'ira, Moshe Rabbeinu nistakel ba'aspaklaria ha'me'ira. Okay, it's unclear exactly what an aspaklaria is, but it seems to be some sort of mirror image. Okay, there was a whole article in the Ma'arot Daf HaYomi sheet about, were there glasses in the time of the. Some people say that this is like a lens that could affect the way you see things, the size of it, and the image, and how clear it is, and it sounded like glasses. But they claim, I don't know, I didn't look it up really. Technically speaking, the glasses were only created 700 years ago, and that therefore there couldn't have been glasses. And I thought it was interesting, it actually connected with the Parsha about Yitzchak being old, he couldn't see. And you know, you wonder when it says people couldn't see, maybe they just couldn't see like we can't see, but they didn't have glasses, and you know, who knows? Anyway, food for thought. You can look up historically if anybody wants to check when glasses were actually created. But anyway, it's some sort of a way that Moshe was able to see God much more clearly than all the other people saw him. So while it's true that Yeshayahu said, I saw God, he didn't see him clearly. He saw him through some sort of blocked image or fuzzy image. Dershu Hashem b'himatzo. Now we have this other pasuk. Yeshayahu says, search for Hashem when he can be found. This is also very famous. I wanted to go back because these are very, very famous statements. So, Dershu Hashem b'himatzo, you can only call to God when he is found, okay? Search for God b'himatzo, it seems to imply that God isn't always able to be found. Sometimes you can find God, sometimes you can't. And yet, Moshe said, Ki kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. That God is always, you can always call into God. So, the answer they give is, Ha b'yachid ha b'tzibur, that there's a difference between a yachid and a tzibur, okay? So you can pass this one back also if you want to follow on here. There's a difference between a yachid and a tzibur, that a yachid can see God only in certain time periods. The tzibur can pray to God whenever they want, and that's the difference between them. Okay. The yachid emat, so then they say, so when is the time that the yachid can pray to God, can find him? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Elu asara yamim shebeim Rosh Hashanah liyom kipurim. Those are the unique times, and this is why it's very famous. They say that's the difference, that a yachid can always find God in those 10 days. A tzibur, when they get together, can find God anytime. But those are the special 10 days where God is really present there for the yachidim to find him on their own. Okay. At Mispar Yamech Amaleh. Now we're going to get into the one that leads into our daf. Here it says, it's a very interesting thing, Mispar Yamech Amaleh. A man has a certain, or a woman has a certain amount of days that they can live. Okay? So now, that means that everything is planned, Merosh, how long a person can live. And then Yeshayahu said, "Behosaf shi'al yamecha 15 shana." This famous story of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu had been, he had been sick, and then it says that he was chozer b'tshuva, and he realized that he didn't have kids, and that he was going to then be chozer b'tshuva. Is that the wrong Gemara? Isn't that Yvamot? Yeah. Oh, sorry. I quickly grabbed it. Okay. So follow in there. So what does he say? That Chizkiyahu, he says, I'm adding 15 years onto your life. So how could you add 15 years onto your life if God already predetermined exactly how many years a man's going to live? So now, what does it say? D'tanya, et mispray yamecha male, elu shnei dorot. Zacha, mashlimim lo. Lo zacha, pochatin lo. So now, what does it mean? It means God determines how long a person's going to live. If you're worthy, then you get to live all those years. If you're not worthy, God takes away some of the years. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, what happened here? Chizkiyahu lost. Now, this connects to the fact they say Chizkiyahu never had kids, and that was his avera that he did for what he was getting punished for. Then he gets sick, he does tshuva, and he now gets an extra 15 years because of that. So now what do they say? So what does it mean? Really, he lost 15 years because he wasn't having children. Then, once he was chozer b'tshuva, he gained 15 years. So really, he ends up where he started. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Chachamim omrim, zacha mosifin lo, lo zacha pochatin lo. Now, you get whatever amount of days God determined. Then, if you're bad, you lose. If you're good, you gain. Okay, so only if you're a benoni, you get exactly the amount of days that God said from the beginning. So now, Chachamim said to Rabbi Akiva, Amru lo Rabbi Akiva, Harehu omer, bo safti al yamecha 15 shana. As it says, I'm adding. It sounds exactly like I'm adding to what you were supposed to get. Amar lahem, misha lo hosifu lo. Okay, now Rabbi Akiva says back to them, no, it means that he got his own years back, right? They were taken away, and then he got them back. Teda, shaharei, how do I know that that's the case, Rabbi Akiva says. This is an interesting proof. Sharei navi omeru mitnabe, in the very beginning of Sefer Melachim, or toward the beginning, when Yeravam ben Nevat comes in, okay, in Perek Yugimel, a Navi comes, and right, Yeravam made this whole reformation, a bad one, and he made his own Beit HaMikdash, so to speak, and his own sacrifices, and his own holiday, and comes a Navi, and he says, Hine ben nola lebeit David, Yoshiyahu shmo. Now, Yoshiyahu was a tse'etza of Chizkiyahu and Menashe. Now, Chizkiyahu, Menashe is Chizkiyahu's son. So what happens here? And Yoshiyahu is, I believe, Menashe's grandson. Okay, and there's a shoshelet. Chizkiyahu, Menashe, Yoshiyahu. Okay, there was Amon in between. I think Amon was the son of Menashe, who was the father of Yoshiyahu. Although I don't recall 100% if all were fathers and sons, but it was definitely a lineage. So now what happens? He says, he testifies, okay, way back, before, obviously, they were born. And he says, there's going to be a Yoshiyahu, which means what? That if Chizkiyahu had a certain number of years he was going to live. Now remember, what did I say? Before he did tshuva, he didn't have children. So Menashe wasn't born. So what does he say? Va'adayin lo nolad Menashe. Within those years he was supposed to live. Okay, what happened? Menashe wasn't born within those years. So how could the Nevi have predicted something that was part of these added years that he got? Okay, if he, right, the assumption is the Navi is only going to be able to predict. It's an interesting assumption, right? The Navi can only predict years that are known about, years that are in that should have been from God's predetermined plan. But anything that Chizkiyahu, by doing tshuva, gained, right, by being an extra special person, gained these extra 15 years, and like Chachamim say, that means they gained he gained an extra 15 years beyond the years he was supposed to live. So the assumption is the Nevi, coming many, many years ago, can't possibly testify about something that happened during Chizkiyahu's life. He gained himself some extra 15 years. So because Menashe was born in those extra 15 years, comes Rabbi Akiva and says, look, that's my proof. It has to be that it's within those years he was supposed to live. Okay? Now what's interesting is, Chachamim don't disagree with his theory. His theory is correct, that he can only testify about things, that the Navi can only predict things that were within the predetermined years that God set. Okay? And therefore, Chachamim are going to say now, it's true that he predicted something that happened within those extra 15 years, but what's the obvious answer? Rabbanan, miktiv michizkiyahu, it doesn't say, ben nolad lechizkiyahu. Right? What does it say? Lebeit David k'tiv. Imi Chizkiyahu nolad, imi yinesh achrine. If it wasn't Chizkiyahu, then Yoshiyahu would have been born from somebody else. It's true. Hizkiyahu made a change in his life, and that affected history, right? It affected what happened, that in the end, Yoshiyahu came from him. But if he hadn't been a good king and gained himself an extra 15 years and had the child within those 15 years, what the Nevi said would have come true. There's somebody else. Somebody else would have had a son named Yoshiyahu. It's an interesting perspective. Okay. Ishto shemeta, right? It made me think about, you know, like kids always like to say, oh, well, if you guys wouldn't have met, I wouldn't have been born, right? So this is kind of saying you would have been born just from somebody else. It's an interesting theory. Okay. Ishto shemeta. So now this goes back to the end of the Mishnah on Mem Ten Amud Aleph. What does it say here? Ishto shemeta mutar ba'achota. Right? Once the woman dies, okay, this is all, now just to switch your head, we're now talking about Isur Krovim, right? We learned this a lot before. If the wife dies, then the whole Isur of Achot Ishto, the sister of your wife, you can't marry, it's only Bechayah, it comes from a Pasuk. So the Gemara is going to say now, and then they go through a whole list, which the whole list is really unnecessary. Because once you say, Ishto Shemeta Mutar Bachota, then the Mishnah continues. If you divorce her, and Meta Mutar Bachota, if you marry another woman, and Meta Mutar Bachota, if it's Ivim Tosha Meta Mutar Bachota, Halat Slao Meta Mutar Bachota, they're giving every possible scenario. Not only is every possible scenario not necessary really to tell us, even the first one isn't necessary to tell us because it's clear from the Torah, because it says, Isha Lachota Lo Tikach, if I get the whole pasuk, right? Litzur legalot ervata aleha bechayeha. I think that's the whole pasuk. In any case, the end of the pasuk is bechayeha, right? We darshened every part of that pasuk at some point. So now what do they say? Amar Rav Yosef kan shina Rebbe mishna she'ena tzricha. He says, here Rebbe told us something that was not necessary. Okay? Rebbe taught us a mishnah that we didn't need to know. Okay. I feel like that is a bit of an intro to this new set of mishnayot that we're going to learn right now. Because now we're going to learn the entire Perek Hamishi of Mishnayot. Okay, it's all here on our page. This happens once in a while where they put all the Mishnayot together. In this case, I think they did it. Sometimes it's just a printing thing. I don't know that it was predetermined that when they wrote the Gemara that they were going to organize all the Mishnayot this way. But here they really all interconnect. So we're going to start, and a lot of this is going to be review. I want to give some background to things we already learned, but we'll do them again. We have what's called Yibum and Chalitza. So everybody's pretty familiar with that. A man dies, you have to do Yibum to the wife if he dies without children. The way to get out of it, if he doesn't want to do it, is Chalitza. We talked about this in the past, we'll see it again today, that sometimes you can have a Chalitza that's not a great Chalitza, it's called a Chalitza Psula, and you can also have a Bia, or because the real mitzvah of Yibum is by Bia, by having sexual relations. You could have a bia that's also psula, that's also not good, and that's in a situation where he's forbidden to do yibum to the woman, okay, for various reasons we're going to see. Let's say he creates a relationship with one wife, and then he goes to the other wife. So it's already, right, the man who dies, I brought back the people today, okay, the man who dies, he's got two wives, okay, and now he's got a brother, so he dies, and now his two wives fall to yibum. Now we already learned that there's achot zekukato, right? So if he, not achot zekukato. If he does something with one of them, like a ma'amar, for example, okay, which we'll get to in 1 minute what that is, he sort of creates some relationship with one, he's forbidden to the other. But let's say after he creates some sort of a mild relationship, not a yibum yet, a full yibum, then he wants to be with the other one, that's going to be a bia psula, or a chalitza psula, because he's really not supposed to do yibum with her because he's already started the process with a different one. So we'll see about that and what that means. The question is, are those good enough to say that was a good chalitza, that was good yibum, or is it not good enough and he still has some sort of relationship with the other one? And does it work at all? We'll talk about it. What?
You mean does it warrant a get?
So first of all, they need to get divorced, and the question is, does it also need a chalitza? Okay? Is it not enough that they had a relationship, that he did yibum, but since it's a yibum psula, basically, a bia psula, that might mean that he has to do something with her also to get rid of her. Not just a get, but also maybe something else. We'll see. So now the other option is, instead of doing yibum and chalisa, which are the obvious, what if he does ma'amar? Now, we never really discussed this, but ma'amar, I don't think I mentioned this, but ma'amar, what's ma'amar? Ma'amar is like a tekes kiddushin. Like we do, right? Yibum is fulfilled through sex. But a ma'amar is a way, and the rabbis really were metakin that adif lasot et zakacha, okay? Adif to do a ma'amar before you do the yibum. Because they wanted it to match, right? It's not so appropriate. Oh, let's just have sex and that will be the relationship now is formed between us. They decided that at a certain point, let's do a ma'amar, like a tekes kiddushin, right? Under the chuppah. I don't know if they did it exactly under the chuppah, but some sort of, you know, he gave her money or a shtar, and they came into some sort of agreement before they have relations. So that's called a ma'amar. Now, we learned already that a ma'amar has no validity according to the Torah, because the Torah says, yivama yavo aleha. That's how you fulfill yibum. So from the Torah, they're not considered at all married or like they have yibum or anything. But since the tekes has a very strong similarity to marriage, they said it's as if he created a real relationship with her. So midrabanan, it has validity, but not midoraita. So that's going to create certain, right, we've seen this before. The other thing that happens is if he does a ma'amar, and then he decides, okay, so he takes this woman, he says, I'm going to give you, you know, harea mikudesh ali or something like that. And then he decides he doesn't really want to marry her. So what does he have to do? Do you remember? Because he did the ma'amar, he can't just do chalitza with her. He has to give her a get, okay? In order to get out of it, he has to give her a get. Okay, so that's number one with ma'amar. Yeah.
Was there ever an opinion that the ma'amar was just like erusin, or always that it was...
So we had a whole discussion about it. Yeah. Is it like erusin, or is it like nisuin? Yeah, yeah.
Because that would change the whole what you have to do. No,
because even so, it has no validity midoraita. It still doesn't have validity midoraita. Yeah, erusin you need to get. A real erusin you need to get from erusin.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Again, only a halachic erusin, not our kind of erusin that we do. What we call engagement. That's what we do under the chuppah now, right? We split it up by the reading of the ketubah. We do the kiddushin, which is the erusin, and then we do the nisuin all at the same time.
You have the other as well.
You have what?
A real erusin before.
Oh, really? I've never seen that. Interesting. Okay.
But then if they break their engagement, it's a big problem.
That's right. Then.
Exactly. It's huge. And I think that's why in the end they stopped it. Exactly. I think in the end they stopped it for that reason. I don't remember historically when they stopped it and if that was the exact reason, but I imagine that had a lot to do with it. Okay. Then what happens if, this is a weird situation, he doesn't do yibum, he doesn't do chalitz, he doesn't do ma'amar. What does he do? He just gives the woman a get. Okay? He gives her a get saying, I'm supposed to marry you, so I don't want to, I'll give you a get. Does that get have validity? So what did we say? Midoraita has no validity because it's really nothing. However, because they didn't want people thinking that a get, you know, they didn't want to compare it to a regular get, they said, no, that already does have validity. So midorabanan, they said, you know, what's the relevance? It has validity. So number one, she's going to be a grusha, right? Number two, he's going to be asur to her krovim, because we learned that once you divorce someone, you can't marry any of her relatives. And number three, you now, you have this issue, which we learned that if you do chalitza, you're not allowed to do yibum anymore. You have this iser, okay? The pasuk said, asher lo yivneh, didn't say asher lo banat beit achiv, it said asher lo yivneh beit achiv ba'atid. So the Torah learned, the rabbis learned, it means that once you decide I'm not going to do yibum, you can't then do yibum. Obviously, it doesn't mean you decided in your head. It means you did some sort of act. So that act could be chalitza. Once you do chalitza, let's say you're choletz to one wife, and then you say, well, you know what? I'll do yibum with the second. Forbidden to do that. Isur lav. Okay? And then, so if you give her a get, let's say you give a get to this one. You say, I don't want to marry you. I'm giving you a get. I don't want to do yibum with you, so I'm giving you a get. The next one, now he can't do yibum with her at all because that's asher lo yivneh, and it's an isur lav. Now, we're going to see, the additional thing we're going to see is we learned already there's a machloket. If you are over on a lav, a lotase, you marry someone who's asur, forbidden by a lotase, according to Rabbi Akiva only, okay, and we're going to see that this Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva, ein kiddushin tofsin. The kiddushin don't have any validity, okay? So if ein kiddushin, so let's say he marries her, he does yibum with her, he wants to do yibum, let's say, you know, he thinks he's doing yibum, but it's really not. Not only is it not yibum, right? They're not even married. It's as if they're not married at all. They've got no relationship. Okay, so if you do get and then you do yibum with the other, it's totally invalid, according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, you're not married, nothing. You're not a sorba krovot. You don't have any of the ramifications of having been married. Okay, so now we're going to talk about all different situations where a man does either, we're going to start with to one yivama, He takes one yevama and he gives her, or we're going to see different, we're going to see all different cases, but either one guy to one yevama or two yevamot to one. Okay? Either one, you could have one guy doing it, and I lost my other third brother, but okay. Let's say, fine, let's say he's the guy who died, and then we have two brothers who fall to yevam to these women. So either it could be one guy does to two of them, he does one to one and one to the other, or we're going to have the two brothers do to one of the, right? One guy does get and the other guy does zibum, or one guy does, okay, one guy to her and then the other brother also to her. So we're going to see all different kinds of situations. First we're going to have a general thing and then we're going to have a general machloket and then we're going to go into all different cases.
Is this mission working on the premise of ain zika?
No, not necessarily. No. There is zika, yeah.
It is working.
I think so. It's a good question. I think so. Okay?
It also changes.
Right.
Everything.
Right, it's true. We'll have to think about it. I think it assumes there is Zika. Yeah, it does, because then they're going to say, since she couldn't have married him because the other one had a relationship, then yeah, I think it assumes there's Zika. Okay, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Ein Get Achar Get. We saw this before, right? We talked about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. It means if you cook something on Shabbos that you've already cooked, there's no. It's as if you didn't do anything. So when you warm up something on the platter that's already cooked, there's no cooking going on, so it's mutar. So Rabban Gamliel says, Ein Get Achar Get. Okay, there's no validity to a get that you gave after you already gave a get. Okay, so if you give, okay, Rashi says here, Shtei Yevamot La'adam Echad Me'ach Echad. Okay, there's two Yevamot. And then he gives a get to one and a get to the other. Once he gives a get to one, remember, what's the problem now? He's got an Isur Lav of Lo Yivneh. Right? He can no longer marry the second one. Because of that, there's absolutely no validity to the second get. So this second get has no validity. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. Either you can say that the first get disconnected these two, okay? Right? The first time he gave a get, it disconnected them. And therefore, the second one, right? What does this mean? There's no relationship with this guy. He's finished. He can't do Yibam anymore. And therefore, if he gives her a get, she's already disconnected from him. Because the first get already took away the Zika, the connection between them. Or you could say that a get doesn't work at all. Because what did we say? Midoraita get is nothing. In which case, obviously, the second get is also nothing. Okay? So either way, the second get is nothing. V'lo ma'amar achar ma'amar. Okay, once he creates a relationship with one of them, he does a ma'amar with them, like a sort of marriage, then he's no longer, this one's out of the picture. So if we were to do ma'amar with her, she's already p'tura lagamre from, right? She's out of the picture when it comes to Yibum. So therefore, the ma'amar is irrelevant. So again, it would be, I put this all on the chart if you have the sheet. So again, the relevance is, right, that with the get case, he's not asur b'krovoteha. With the ma'amar case, it's a few things. He's not asur b'krovoteha. She doesn't need a get to get out of the ma'amar, the second wife, because the ma'amar wasn't anything. So she doesn't need a get. And the first one, what's the issue? If he creates a ma'amar with her and then does it with the second one, generally, what do we say? Doing a ma'amar means you can't marry the other one because you've created a relationship. So you might say, well, since he did ma'amar with the second one, he now can't marry the first one. But that's not true because the ma'amar he did with the second one, according to Rabban Gamliel, is an irrelevant. It's like doing an unnecessary tekes. It has no meaning whatsoever. And therefore, he can do yibam with the second. V'lo bi'ila achar bi'ila. You can't do yibam with one and then yibam with the other. Okay, the real yibam, by having relations. Okay, that's not an option. The second act has no mashma'ut because you've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum. So the second act, now what happens? It's again, it's the Isur of Lo Yivneh. He can't do Shnei Batim, but it's actually not Lo Yivneh. It's that you can't do Yibum b'Shnei Batim, right? With two different wives. So therefore, it's an Isur Lav. And again, we say it's like Rabbi Akiva, that Isur Lav ain't Kiddushin Tovsim. So there's absolutely no mashma'ut. It's basically Be'ilat Znut. Okay? It's a, right? It's like a, I don't know, how do you translate Be'ilat Znut? Not really prostitution, but it's like an inappropriate, right? They shouldn't have been together. And because of that, again, he's not a asur b'krovoteha, and she doesn't need a get. It was a meaningless, you know, inappropriate, meaningless act.
Isn't it Isur Erba also, because it's his brother's wife?
So I think that in the end, I'm trying to remember that. I think in the end, because you fulfilled Yibum, it now...
no longer his brother's name.
Right, she it removed. I think, if I remember correctly, we saw machloket about it, about whether once the yibum is done, does she go back to Isur Esharah, or does it go to the lav of Lo Yivneh? We saw this thing about, is it the lav now of Lo Yivneh, that he now can no longer rebuild his house through anyone else, Or is it, there was a whole machloket about it, or do we see that it goes back to Isur Karet of the Esherach? Okay. Then, below chalitza achar chalitza. Okay, once you do chalitza, you're done. You've disconnected, you've fulfilled your chiyuv, just like Yibum, right? The same thing of the Be'ilah. And therefore, the second one has no relevance, okay? Here, I accidentally copied and pasted, but it's basically ein toga plasheni, and therefore, he's not asur b'krovoteh. Obviously, there's no bia there. That was just a mistake on my sheet. Okay, so now, yeah. Yeah.
So they're basically, so the point of this is you can't do these things twice. For this
if you do it twice, it just has no relevance. But in other words, not that you can't. Nobody's saying go do this, but if you were to do it, okay, for whatever reason, the second act has no relevance whatsoever.
Why would somebody do it twice?
That's a good question. I think it could be they're just talking theoretically because they want to explain to you how the connection is disconnected and how much. Right. Once you do one, what the effects are on the on any future act? I think that's really it's. I don't think it's likely they were doing both of these acts.
But based on what you said before, it's not that the act is being done twice, but it's that the person is doing it twice. Meaning,
right? Because the act isn't being done. The act is irrelevant. Yeah. What do you mean?
Because you were saying chalitza could be done by one, chalitza could be done by another. But is it the act that's being done twice, or the fact that the person is doing it twice?
So it could be either. It could be, we're going to see, it could be that one, right, it could be that it's one guy doing it to one woman. It could be one guy doing it to two sisters. And it could be two brothers doing it to one or two sisters. It could be any of those options. So the point, right, you could see it actually more relevant, Shari, that two brothers.
Right.
So one does it to one and one does it to the other because they say, well, I'm going to do the mitzvah and I'm going to do the mitzvah, right? Sibling rivalry, don't we love it? So, right, and that he wants to have a chance and he does it. And the point is what you did is chasar mashmaut. It's really irrelevant.
So if you give a get after a get, the second get, can that woman then go marry Kohei?
Yes.
Okay, so that's it's just, also...
Exactly right. It's also, yes, it's also relevant.
A lot of relevant, right. Because it's then she's...
They want to show,
really
get,
so
yes.
So she can go get married to Kohei then.
The Ma'amar had what?
Had that similar status.
That what?
That they... it was considered an act, and therefore they couldn't marry Kohei.
After they do Ma'amar? Well, if you got a get after Ma'amar. Well, once you... Right. Once you need... No, but a regular Ma'amar, you can do Yibum with the Ma'amar. The second one is irrelevant. Right? The second one has no relevance whatsoever, according to Rabban Gamliel. We're going to see in a minute a different opinion. Chachamim Omrim... Yeah.
So the Nafkamina also could be the kids. In terms of
yes.
Zero.
Yes.
Depends on what opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Rabbi,
right.
Know,
it's true.
You're done. You're finished.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By the law, you're also among zero. Like, he has the most strength.
Right, because then if you're doing an Isur Lav, the kids would be mom's heir, and that's true. Right.
But one man can marry two sisters, and not two wives. Let's say a man
yeah.
dies, so he is doing it twice.
No, but he's, what do you mean, he's doing it twice?
Two wives that are not related to each other. A man has
yeah.
two wives, and he dies.
But not when you have Yibum. If this guy yeah, died with two kids, with two wives... You can only do Yibum with one. The other one becomes forbidden to you.
That's
because
right.
of this issue of Lo Yivneh. That's the whole issue. And according to what Shoshana is saying, is according to Rabbi Akiva, if he marries her despite that, then their children will be mamzerim.
And because both of them are get, the second
okay.
get is...
Right.
Is.
Okay. So this is a very, there's a lot, it's very tedious and complicated Mishnah. So let's go on. Chachamim amrim, yesh get achar get, v'yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar. Aval lo achar bi'ilah, v'lo achar chalitza klum. Okay, he says it depends. The get and the ma'amar, what did we say? Because they're only midrabanan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're not midoraita. So the second, it's almost, it's only like a partial connection or a partial disconnect. And therefore, you can have a potential relationship with the second one. So if you were to do one after the other, it would count. And therefore, you'd be asur b'krovoteh. And if it was ma'amar, you'd need a get from both of them. Okay, so he has a different opinion that there is get achar get and there is ma'amar achar ma'amar, but not achar b'ilah, not achar chalitza, because midoraita, those are full acts of, you know, you've either fully fulfilled it or you've fully disconnected from it. Okay, which also you fulfilled it by doing chalitza. Okay, now we're going to have kitzad. Okay, now we're going to explain a lot of different possibilities, not with get achar get or ma'amar achar ma'amar. Okay, you can see the charts here. There's going to be a ma'amar and then a get, or a ma'amar and then a ba'al, and then you know, all different options. Okay, kitzad. Asa ma'amar b'yivimto v'natan la get. First you do a ma'amar, and then, now we're talking all about the same person. You give this woman, you do a ma'amar, and then you give her a get. So what did we learn? This is chazara. We've learned this already. Tzricha himena chalitza. right? So it's not enough. If you did ma'amar, it's not enough to undo it by a get. You also need to do chalitza because you still haven't yet fulfilled your yibum requirement. Get and ma'amar aren't sufficient to fulfill your yibum requirement. And likewise, it doesn't say this, but obviously if you did a ma'amar and you did chalitza, you'd also need a get. Right? Anyone who does ma'amar with a woman and then doesn't want to marry her, he has to do both chalitza and yibum, and get. Asa ma'amar v'chalitza. Okay, let's say you say, I want to marry you, right? You do a kiddushin act, and then you do chalitza. This is what I just said. If you do chalitza, then you still need a get, right? Tzricha himenu get. Asa ma'amar u'ba'al. Harezo k'mitzvata. That's perfect, right? That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Okay, you do a ma'amar. First you do a tekes kiddushin, and then you have relations with her. Perfect, you've fulfilled your mitzvah. Natan get v'asa ma'amar. Let's say first you gave a get, and then you did a ma'amar. Okay, so what's the problem here? Once you do get, what do we learn? Okay. You're not allowed to marry her. So by doing a ma'amar, it's a problem. So what does she need?
Why do they give a get before?
There's no reason. It's just, right. This is right. It's very bizarre. He thinks maybe that giving a get will say, I don't want to be married to you. And he does it for some reason before chalitza. I don't know why. Maybe he thinks it'll take the place of chalitza. Maybe he prefers to do a get. Chalitza is an unpleasant ceremony. It's unclear, but he gives her a get. But then he decides, okay, he's a little fickle. He wants to marry her. So he does a ma'amar. So it doesn't, right? It's no good, but the ma'amar has tokef, so he has to do tzricha get v'chalitza. Okay, she has to get a get and do chalitza. Natan get uba'al. What if he gives her a get and then he decides to sleep with her? Tzricha get v'chalitza. Okay, what's the problem here? This is what we call a be'ila psula. Okay? It means he's already disconnected from her, and he's not allowed to marry her. So the fact that he sleeps with her now is a problem. It's not a full act of the kiyum of yibum, because it was usher for him to do yibum. So because of that, she has to get out of it. Number one, the be'ila was enough, right? It's what we saw before with the chalitza psula. It's like a half-half, right? It half worked, so they're ke'ilu married that they need to get, but it didn't work enough to fulfill yibum, so they need to do chalitza to get out of it, right? Because he obviously can't do yibum. Natan get v'chalatz. What if he gives her a get and then he does chalitza? So ein achar chalitza klum. Okay, this statement ein achar chalitza klum could be explained in two different ways. Ein achar chalitza klum on the one hand could mean that once he does that act, anything after that is irrelevant, right? Because at that point, what do we say with chalitza? Once he does chalitza with her, it's the... Is there a marker here? No, the marker's not here. After he does chalitza with her, what do we say? Chalitza means I don't want to marry you, I don't want to do yibum with you. So now there's the Easter of Lo Yivne. So anything he does after chalitza is lo mashmauti because it's an Easter lav, and according to Rabbi Kiva, Easter lav ain't kiddushin topsi. So no act will be relevant at all. Okay? If he marries her, right, it's not a relevant marriage. If he does anything with her, it's just irrelevant. So a ma'amar, anything like that. So that's why he says enachar chalitza klum. But there's another way of explaining enachar chalitza klum. It could mean that a chalitza, what's the issue here? First he did a get, and then he did a chalitza. Now once you do a get, it's usher to do yibum. What did we learn? If it's usher to do yibum, then your chalitza is also not a good chalitza, because you have to have chalitza when you want to do, right? When you don't want to do yibum, but you have the option of doing yibum. So therefore, this case would be a chalitza psula, which means that the chalitza doesn't 100% remove the zika, the connection between them. It's not sufficient. So therefore, enachar chalitza klum could mean that that even though it's a chalitza psula, comes the mission to tell you, it's enough to be mafkia the zika. In other words, this opinion is saying, even though it's a chalitza psula, enachar chalitza klum, it's still sufficient enough to break your connection with this woman. Okay? Chalatz v'asa ma'amar. What if you do chalitza and then you do a ma'amar? So this we just said, right? That ein achar chalitza klum. So we're going to see this. Chalatz v'asa ma'amar. Natan get uba'al. Okay, let's say you do four acts. Okay, this is the third chart on the sheet. You do chalitza. You do ma'amar. You want to pass the sheets around? I don't know if everybody got it. Or you have? Okay, everyone has? Okay.
Yeah.
So you do chalitza, then you do ma'amar, then you do get, and then you do be'ila. Okay, so let's try to figure this out, right? You do chalitza to, I think this is a case where, one second, you're doing it to two different people, right? One second. We're on the case of Natan get uba'al. One second. Natan get Ubaal O Baal. Wait, we're on here. Chalat v'asama amar. Natan get
Ubaal O Baal.
One second, I think. Chalat
v'asama.
Yeah, it could be he or his brother subsequently performed. Right. Okay. So chalat v'asama amar. Natan get Ubaal. Okay. So first he does chalita. Then he does a ma'amar with one of them, which, right, well, what do we say? Enachar chalitza klum, right? So if he does a ma'amar, he gives a get, and then he does be'ila, or he starts with be'ila, okay, ba'al, meaning he was mekayim yibum at that point, right? You follow? In other words, each of these cases, that's why I charted it out. The first act was a perfectly good act of chalitza or yibum. Then he does all sorts of things after that. It's all irrelevant, they're going to say. Okay? Natan get b'chalat, ein achar chalitza klum. Okay, which really means, all the Mepharshim explain, it means ein achar chalitza klum and ein achar be'ila klum. In other words, once you fulfill the act of yibum perfectly, right, this isn't a chalitza psula or a bia psula, it's a perfectly good chalitza and a perfectly good bia, then anything after that is irrelevant. Echat yivama, echat liyabam echad, ve'echat shtei yivamot liyabam echad. Now they're getting into, this was all with one person. Now they're getting into, this could be with a yivama and one yabam. It could be Shte yivamot and one yabam, right? It could be two sisters that we're talking about. And now they're going to explain. Ketzad. Okay, what are the acts with two sisters? Asama amar bezo ma'amar bezo. Let's say he does a ma'amar with each of them. We couldn't have given this case with one person because it wouldn't be a situation where he gave a ma'amar twice. That wouldn't be relevant. But let's say he does a ma'amar with one and a ma'amar with the other. So what do we say? Tzrichot shnei gitim b'chalitza. Since a ma'amar only has validity midrabanan, midoraita, it's as if he didn't do anything. So therefore, it's each one is valid, and each one needs to get out of it, because what did we learn already? Once he does a ma'amar with both, he's not allowed to do that. He can't have a relationship with both of the wives, and therefore he has to get rid of them. So how does he get rid of them? He gives each one a get, because each one was in a marriage, so to speak, with him. And one of them, chalitza, obviously only one chalitza, because you don't need to do chalitza to both, because there's only one chiyuv of chalitza. Ma'amar bezo v'get lezo. What if he gives ma'amar to one and a divorce to the other? So again, because he gave the divorce to the second one, what do we say? There's the issue of lo yivneh. So now he can't marry either one of them, even the one he did the ma'amar with. So what do we have to do? Tzricho get v'chalitza. Okay, the one who did the ma'amar needs a get. Obviously, the one who does a get doesn't need a get anymore. And then he just gives chalitza to one of them. It's, again, it doesn't matter which one he does chalitza with. Ma'amar b'zo u'ba'al etzo. What if he did a ma'amar with one and then he slept with the other one? What did we learn again? It's Isra of Lo Yivneh. He wasn't allowed to sleep with her. So first of all, there's no mashma'ut to it, right? So it's a be'ila, it's a be'ila psula, right? Because what do we have here? Midoraita, it's a good yibum. Because the ma'amar is nothing midoraita. But midorabanan, he did ma'amar and it was forbidden to him to marry her. So that's called the be'ila psula. So what do we need? Srichot shnei gitin, each one needs a get. V'chalitza. Right, we can't say that it's enachar ma'amar klum because ma'amar is only midoraita, right? So the is only midrabanan. So the second be'ila counts. So we need to get out of it because he can't stay married to her because of the issur of lo yivneh, and he has to do chalitza with one of them to fulfill the yibum. Ma'amar bezo v'chalatz lezo. What if he does ma'amar with one and then chalitza with the second one? So harishonat tzricha get. Okay, the second one needs a get. The first one he did the ma'amar with needs a get, and he's already fulfilled chalitza, so he's fine with his chalitza that he did. Get lezo v'get lezo. What if he gives them both a get? Okay, tzrichot heimenu chalitza. One, he needs to do chalitza with one of them. Obviously, once you give a get, there's no, you don't need to undo a get, right? It just means that they both have a get, and he needs to do chalitza. But again, the second one, based on what we said, ein get achar get, right? Depending on whether you hold like chachamim or Rabban Gamliel, whether the second get is a get at all or not. Okay? But in any case, that's not what's bothering the mission here. The mission is, what do you do about your yibum? So your yibum is very simple. You're not allowed to marry either one of them because you gave them a get, which we learned is a issur of lo yivneh now. So you have to do chalitza to one of them. Get lezo ba'al etzo. Okay? What if you give a get and then you do a be'ila? Remember, what is this? Be'ila psula, because you weren't allowed to. Once you did get, comes the issur of lo yivneh. Once Isra of Lo Yivneh, you're not allowed to marry her. What if you did anyway? You ba'al et zo. You slept with her. Tzricha get, right? She needs a get. And obviously the one who has a get doesn't need anything because we already said after a get, you don't need to do anything to fix that. But you still need to do chalitza because you didn't fulfill yibum yet. Get lezo ma'amar bezo. Okay, if you give a get to one of them, okay, so you've gotten rid of her again. You have the Isra of Lo Yivneh now. Uma'amar bezo, you did a ma'amar, so again, with the ba'alat ma'amar, tzricha get. And you need to do chalitza with one of them because you, right, you, I guess with the ba'alat ma'amar, you probably have to do chalitza because you created a relationship, you have to get rid of it with chalitza. Get lezo, b'chalat lezo. Okay, I hope your heads aren't spinning too much. It's complicated, but it's really repetitive. It's a very repetitive Mishnah. Get, because it's all based on the same principles. If you give a get to one and then you do chalitza to the other, what are we going to say here? Ein achar chalitza klum, right? Once you do the chalitza, that's fine, right? It's, again, we had two interpretations, what ein achar chalitza klum. Chalat v'chalat. O chalat v'asama amar, natan get uba'al, o ba'al uba'al, o ba'al v'asama amar, okay? Natan get v'chalat, ein achar chalitza klum. These are all cases, okay? Almost all the cases here started with chalitza. You first did a chalitza, then you did a second chalitza. So again, once you did the first chalitza, anything after is irrelevant. So the second one that you gave chalitza to, you're not a sorba krovotah, she's not psula lekuna, because her chalitza was lav klum, because ain't a char chalitza klum. Okay, the second case, chalat v'asa ma'amar, right? You don't need a get from that ma'amar, because you already did chalitza. So there's no, right, it's usher for you to marry this woman now, the second wife. So the fact that you did a ma'amar with her is nothing. It's irrelevant. It's like a silly tekas that you did. Natan get uba'al. Let's say you, va'asama amar natan get uba'al. You did all four of those acts, okay? Or you started with be'ila, right? So again, anything after the chalitza is nothing. If you did be'ila first, and then you did be'ila to the second, or you did be'ila and you did ma'amar to the second, or you gave a get and then chalat. So again, ein achar chalitza klum or ein achar be'ila klum, right? And there's nothing, all those acts are irrelevant in terms of creating a relationship. Bein yamam achad l'shtei yevamot. Now we're going to say there's another case. It could be yamam achad to shtei yevamot, but it also could be bein shnei yevamim liyevama achat, right? It could be two brothers to one yevama. Same thing. Okay, so now we're going to see the cases here. Chalat v'asa ma'amar. What if he does chalitza? Then he does a ma'amar. Then he gives a get, and then he's ba'al. Or ba'al v'asa ma'amar v'natan get b'chalat. Again, we have all the same things with, it starts with chalitza or it starts with be'ila. Ein achar chalitza klum. Okay, now they're going to say, this is just going back to the original case because now they want to, they want to say something a little different about it. Okay, so until now we said enachar chalitza klum, enachar be'ila klum, but now we're going to make a distinction between chalitza and be'ila. This is our last Mishnah. Okay, bein b'tchila. So enachar chalitza klum. First, we're starting with chalitza. Bein b'tchila, bein be'emtza, bein b'sof. It doesn't matter at what point in the process you did the chalitza, whether it was before ma'amar, after ma'amar, anything. Anytime you do chalitza, enachar chalitza klum. But habe'ila bizman shehi b'tchila. Ein acharei haklum. If you start with be'ila, then nothing after that is relevant. But ba'emtza u'basof yesh acharei haklum. Why is that? Because if you do it after you do a get or something like that, what do we say? It's a be'ila psula. It's not a full be'ila that disconnects you with, you know, that fulfills your chiyuv. So therefore, there is something after. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, achad be'ila ve'achad chalitza, bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein basof, ein acharei haklum. He thinks, now there's two ways of explaining this. See if I can remember this. Some people say that Rabbi Nechemya means that that anything you do after the bia isn't tofes at all. In other words, even though it's a bia psula, what does it mean? What's the whole idea that you do a bia, that ein acharei haklum? It means you have let's say it's one guy with two wives. You have a zika to both these wives, right? This is why the whole Mishnah has to be premised on the zika. You have a connection to both these women. You're supposed to marry them. As soon as you do an act of either chalitza or be'ila with one, what happens? She's totally disconnected from the picture, right? She's no longer connected to you at all. If it's not a strong enough, and this is what we saw with the chalitza psula, if it's not a strong enough act, either the yibum or the chalitza that you did with the first one, because you weren't allowed to do yibum, let's say, okay, and you did it anyway, it's not strong enough to uproot her connection to you. Since you did it in a not perfect way, it means that you're not totally disconnected with this one unless you do something with her. So Rabbi Nechemya comes and says that we don't hold that way, okay? Ein achar bia klum, even if it's be'emtza, even if you did some act with the other one, and therefore this is a bia psula, you're totally disconnected from the other one. Now, even though it's a bia psula, he thinks the bi'ila is enough to say we're disconnected. Okay?
So he doesn't believe in the Bi'apsula, basically.
Right. Or he says he doesn't think there's ramifications. Maybe he'll call it a Bi'apsula, but even a Bi'apsula is enough to disconnect you. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation says that it doesn't totally uproot you from the Zika, meaning, let's say you did a Bi'apsula with this one, you'd have to do Chalitza with the second one, because it's not enough to disconnect you. So what does he mean, Ein Acharei Klum? It means that if you were to do, remember what we saw? If you were to do a Ma'amar after you did the Bi'apsula, that Ma'amar would be irrelevant. Okay, so let's say you did a Bi'apsula with her, then, so now what do you have to do? You have to do Chalitza with this one, according to the second interpretation. Instead of doing Chalitza, you do Ma'amar with her. Now that Ma'amar is totally irrelevant, according to him, because after you do Bia, even if it's a Bia Psula, you're no longer allowed to have any connection with the other woman, and therefore, if you were to do Ma'amar, that would have zero relevance, or you were to give her a get, or anything you would do would be totally irrelevant. But yet, according to him, you haven't totally disconnected from her, so you still need to do Chalitza. So that's the Machlok of Rabbi Nechemya. Do you need Chalitza, or do you not need Chalitza? Okay, we're going to stop here. We'll start up with the Gemara. And tomorrow, about all this.
They have two women.